The power of God is unleashed in the disciples' life through persistent, believing prayer. Not just mindless recitation, but persistent, believing prayer. We don't quit, we don't give up, and we believe, we have faith as we pray.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
We're continuing our series today in this one-to-one discipleship. We have been challenged in the Word to make disciples. That was the task that Jesus gave you and me, that He gave His followers before He ascended into heaven. To make disciples, not just make converts, not just tell or proclaim the gospel, but for those who have believed to nurture them, to grow them into mature, faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Make disciples. And so our series then will help us to understand the basics of what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. But then also, as I've told you, I do have an ulterior motive. I'm hoping to build a pool of disciple makers here in this church who are willing to come alongside someone who's new in the faith, young in the faith, to help them grow in the faith. We've seen that Jesus calls us to center our lives on Him, that He is to be at the center of our lives, of everything that we are and do, that we can have assurance of our salvation, that we are right with Him through His trustworthy word, through the ministry of the testimony and witness of the Spirit in our hearts, and also through the evidence of a changed life. We've seen the attributes of God, that He's all-powerful, all-knowing, that He's good, He's gracious, merciful, just, and holy, that He's kind. And then the Bible is God's Word, that this is a key instrument that God uses to teach us, to instruct us, to correct us, and that we might know Him better. Well, today we want to talk about another key tool for the disciple, and that is prayer. And that is prayer. We'll be looking in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. We'll see here then today that through prayer then, the power of God is unleashed. The power of God is unleashed in the disciples' life through persistent, believing prayer. Not just mindless recitation, but persistent, believing prayer. We don't quit, we don't give up, and we believe, we have faith as we pray. That through that, the power of God is unleashed. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want exactly the way we want, when we want. But it does mean that God's power will be unleashed in our lives. So before we look at Matthew chapter 7, a little context here is for us. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are challenged by what it means to know and to walk in true righteousness. How are we to live as followers of Christ? What does true righteousness look like? Well, Jesus shows us that in this sermon here that true righteousness isn't simply external appearances. Because for those that these people who were listening, that first audience for Jesus, if they wanted to know what righteousness was, what does it look like? What would they think to do? Well, we would look to our spiritual leaders, right? One would think that would be a right thing to do. Well, who were their spiritual leaders? The Pharisees, the Sadducees. Were they great examples of true righteousness? No, they weren't at all. So Jesus says, don't be like them. Do you realize how scandalous this message was? When Jesus effectively comes out, presenting Himself to them and saying then in the full hearing of all of their spiritual leaders, don't be like them. You really want to be righteous? Don't be like your so-called leaders over there. You see why they hated Jesus. He didn't hate them, but they hated Him, right? So He says true righteousness then, it's not just external appearances. It's not just superficial keeping of the law, but rather true righteousness and true keeping of the law starts where? In the heart. It's in the heart, and it's in our attitudes. And that shows what we truly believe. True righteousness springs from a right heart. And it's a heart of faith. It's a heart that recognizes the need for grace and for mercy and extends that grace and that mercy to others as well. But here in these verses today, then, we see something that Jesus says about prayer. You know, before he had said, don't be like the hypocrites, like the Pharisees. For them, what was prayer? It was a big public show, right? They had their routines. They would go. They wanted everybody to know, see them praying. And Jesus said what? They have their reward in full. And what was their reward? The applause of people, right? But he said, but they don't have the Father's reward. But you, his followers, what are we to do? To go to a private place and pray secretly. And there the Father sees and he will reward. Now, Jesus isn't saying that public prayer is wrong. That's an important part of the disciples' life as well. Public prayer, it's what we do here together. But he's saying, don't make prayer just this big public show. But now he has something else to say about prayer. Before he was looking at the motivation for it. Now he's looking at the hows of it. How are we to pray? What kind of attitude? And we see then that a disciple of Jesus is to pray persistently and believingly in faith. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, where Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I have to tell you, did you know this is my favorite scripture passage on prayer? Now, you know, I've got all kinds of favorites, right? But I have a favorite chapter. What is that? Romans 8. I have all kinds of other favorite verses. This is my favorite scripture teaching on prayer. I love this passage. And what do we see here? We see a command and a promise and then an analogy or an illustration. So first the command. Ask, seek, knock. Joe, that verb tense there is, not to get into too many boring details about this, we won't do this, but the verb tense there, how many of you loved like English grammar? That was your favorite class. Well, this isn't English grammar here. This is Greek grammar here. But in this verse here, this verb tense is the implication, it's an action with ongoing results. You do something and then you keep on doing it. So you could translate it, and there are some Bibles that do translate it this way. You see, ask, seek, knock. It's not saying ask one time and then just forget about it. Seek one time, take a look one day, and then go on your merry way. Knock one time and then go away. No, there's persistence. You keep on. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock. And keep on knocking. So what is that? It's persistence. It's not giving up. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. That persistency there. You notice then too, there's a progression. You see a persistence, but you also see a progression here. To ask is what? We ask of the Lord. Seek implies what? There's some action on our part. We are We're looking, we're actively looking for the answer that God is going to give to what we have just asked. And then knock. Boy, there's action right there, right? Knock and the door will be open. That implies what? That there's the answer before us. The door isn't quite opened yet. So you see a persistency, but you also see progression. Ask the Lord. Then seek. Seek that answer. And when you see that door, start knocking and keep on knocking for it to open. Have any of you ever had a visitor late at night who just won't go away? I have. That's one of the occupational hazards I have sometimes. And there was one time I was determined to ignore it. But he wouldn't quit. And so finally, I had to get up and go deal with it, right? In true Christian love, I had to get up and deal with this guy, right? But you know, Jesus even gives a parable that about someone coming to visit and they're persistent. And finally, what? He gets up because the guy's not going away. In the same way, then, we're invited to be like that. God invites you to be that guy, right? There's persistence, not quitting. Jesus told parables then about prayer, of emphasizing this persistence. Like the woman who wanted justice and went to the wicked judge, and what? She continued to ask for justice. She would not stop. Going to, and finally, what did the wicked judge do? Oh, I got to get this woman out of my, give her what she wants. Now, why did Jesus tell that story? To say that God is a wicked judge? No, but to say that what? Even this wicked judge could be prevailed upon because of persistence. And so what? How much more so your Heavenly Father? Now, again, we don't need to prevail upon Him like until He finally says, fine, I'll get you to finally be quiet. No, it's His heart is love. But He calls for us to believe persistently. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You know, something that I find kind of amusing here, maybe some of you have noticed this before. You notice how it says ask, seek, and knock. How's that spelled? A-S-K. Isn't that interesting how you see those words, A-S-K? So when you think of prayer, think of ask, A-S-K. A, ask, keep on asking. S, seek, keep on seeking. K, knock, and keep on knocking. Persistence, progression, faith. I was joking yesterday, I was meeting with the members of the worship team to read some scripture together and pray. They said, I needed to come up with another P word. We have persistence and progression here. We need another P word that means faith, right? What did we decide?
You said an actor.
Well, you know how sometimes the word P can be pronounced like an F? Like the name Pfeiffer, for example, P-F-E. So I said faith with a P, though, P-F-A-I-T-H. We decided that's not very good, though, right? So how about we're just going to stick with faith and forget the alliteration, all right? Persistence, progression, faith. And this isn't an option. God commands it. So sometimes we take the word of God and we almost act as if like this is optional when God tells us these things. When God tells us to do something, is it optional? No. And why does He tell us to do these things? Out of His love, right? Out of His love. Everything God does for you or me is motivated by His love. Even, and I would say especially, His discipline of us. But Scripture makes it clear. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't discipline you. The fact that He disciplines you, the fact that He disciplines me, is evidence of His love. So He commands you and me to boldly, persistently pray in faith and not to quit, not to give up. Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. So sometimes I wonder, well, what does that mean to pray without ceasing? Does that mean we don't go through the day 24 hours a day constantly praying, do we? No. Well, it means, some have said, well, it means to always be in an attitude of prayer, ready to pray to in a moment's notice, and that's okay. We can pray anytime. Even sometimes prayer is one, can be one word. You know what my favorite one word prayer is? You got it. Help. Help, right? Sometimes that's all we can manage. It's all we can think of at the moment, right? But I don't think that's what Scripture means when it says pray without ceasing. I think it means don't quit, don't give up, don't get discouraged and quit. Keep on praying persistently. Pray without ceasing. And that's a command. But look at the promise then. Look at the promise. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. It's a pretty bold promise, don't you think? Well, we're told to pray boldly, and God follows it up with a bold promise. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Well, there you have it right there. If you're persistent and you ask in faith, God's going to give you exactly what you're asking when you want it, right? No. It's not saying that. But what? God will answer, though. The one who asks will receive. If it is according to His word, you will receive. Not necessarily in our time, but when? In His time. That'd make a great line of a song, wouldn't it? In His time. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be open. It's a precious promise of God. But it is to be understood in the light of the rest of scriptural teaching. This isn't a form, like when we say, well, Jesus says to pray in His name. And if we pray in His name, whatever we ask for, we will receive. Whatever we ask Him to do, He will do. If we pray in His name, it's not a formula we tack on to guarantee we'll get what we want. Praying in His name means what? Praying in alignment with Him, with His will, and with His purposes, by His authority. It will be done. Because when we pray for God's will to be done, does He always answer that one? Yes, He does. His will be done. So we need to pray what? That our hearts and minds will come in alignment with His will and wanting His will and rejoicing in His will. So we see a command and then a promise and then finally an analogy. It gives the analogy of an earthly parent. It says for you, if you're a parent, your son, your child comes to you and asks for bread. Your child is hungry, parent. Mom, dad, they're hungry. You have plenty of food in the house. Your child is hungry. What are you going to do? Go out in the driveway. Let me get a big rock or a boulder out of the driveway. And you going to do that? Of course not. You love your child. You want to provide for your child. Your child is hungry. You're going to feed that child. You're going to give that child bread, not a stone. Well, what if that child asks for a fish? You say, oh, I've got something for you. Are you going to hand that child a serpent, a snake? Of course not. What kind of person would do that? An evil person, right? That's something an evil person would do. And no good and loving parent would do that. No loving earthly parent would do that. So, if an earthly parent would not do that, look, how much more so then your Heavenly Father? Because Jesus says what? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I know we're living in the age of self-esteem, right? Where we're all supposed to talk about how awesome we are all the time. In fact, we have this thing, social media. I don't want to get on another little soapbox here. How many of you just love this? I know some of you love the social media, don't you? I know you do. And that's okay, because it can be a very powerful tool, right? It can be a very good thing. But how many of you know that with social media, there can come a lot of not so good stuff too, right? Social media isn't the cause of all evil in the world, but it sure does reveal a lot of evil in the world, doesn't it? Because what does it do? It reveals people's hearts, doesn't it? Now, it can be a great tool, but it can also reveal the reality of the human heart, though, as well. The not so light side, the dark side of human nature. And the reality is, sorry to tell you this, but you are not special. You are not the center of the universe. You are evil. And I am evil compared to God. We are all evil, aren't we? But God has done something about that evil, hasn't he? He has sent a Redeemer. If we weren't evil, we wouldn't need to be saved or delivered from evil, would we? If we were already good, we wouldn't have needed a Savior, right? But because we weren't good, he sent a Savior. And so now you, me, if even comparatively evil human beings, evil parents, would never do something like that, well, how much more so then is the Heavenly Father going to give what is good to those who ask him? Isn't that a great analogy there? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The one who asks will receive. The one who seeks will find. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. And if earthly parents give good gifts, how much more so do you think the Heavenly Parent, the Heavenly Father, will give what is good to those who ask him? Do you believe that God will give you good if you ask him? I do. But is it always going to be good as we define it? What we want, when we want? Parents, how many of you know that giving your kids everything they ask for, when they ask for it, is not a good idea? Right?
Can you repeat that?
I'm going to repeat that. Giving your kids everything they want when they want it is never good. Yeah. Some of the kids are kind of looking at me with a skeptical look on their faces right now.
They'll learn.
You will learn. So here's the difference. A child who has a loving parent learns to trust that parent. May not always like what the parent says or does, but they learn to trust the parent's heart. But that parent is sometimes going to make mistakes, prove themselves human. But you know what? The Heavenly Parent is never going to make any mistakes. He's never going to be wrong. He's always going to be good. He's always going to be right. It's always going to be love. Love motivates everything God does in your life and mine. Well, why should we pray? Well, when we pray, it brings honor and glory to God. It glorifies God. When we pray and God answers, God moves in that, it brings honor to him, to his name. We pray because it honors God. It glorifies him. We pray then, too, because God commands it. Again, this is not optional. You know, if you really think you might want to pray, give that some thought. Go ahead and do it. No, he commands us to do this. We're commanded to pray. Why should we pray? Well, in doing so, we communicate. It's been said, what? Prayer is that dialogue with God. We communicate with God. To have fellowship with God. What is fellowship? It's that rich, intimate relationship If you have a relationship with another human being, one of the ways that relationship develops or becomes intimate is what is through communication, through talking to one another. Same way with God. If we're going to have a relationship of intimacy, a love with God, we need to talk to Him and we need to listen to Him. Because prayer isn't just us speaking, it's listening to what God is saying too, right? Listening and thinking on what He has said in His Word. How His Spirit works in His Word to reveal, enlighten our minds to understand. We glorify God. God commands it. We communicate with God. We have intimate fellowship, relationship with God. It's also because of the example of our Lord, Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer, wasn't he? It was a regular discipline in his life where he would go and commune with his heavenly Father. Have you ever thought about how important that was to Jesus? He is God in the flesh. Now, he is a man, yes, but he is also God in the flesh. And if it was so important for him, God in the flesh, to pray, how much more important is that for you and me, right? If he needed it, what does that say about how much you need it and I need it? Because of the examples of the disciples and others to achieve results for the glory of God. Not for our glory, for God's glory. Then to achieve spiritual growth. It's a tool God uses to grow us spiritually, to make us more mature, so that we might know Him, that we might glorify Him, that His will would be done in our lives and in the world, and we might come to spiritual maturity. What kind of things should we pray in prayer? Well, you see this on the back of the bulletin every week. It's there. Some of you know this well. I'm not suggesting that every time we pray, we need to rigidly follow this formula here. I simply put this forth as an example, I think it was as kind of a summary, if you will, of a well-balanced prayer life. That these are the kinds of things that are a part of a well-balanced prayer life. Adoration. Adoration is what? It's proclaiming the goodness of God. It's meditating and thinking upon the attributes of God. Confession. Well, we know what that is, but it's agreeing with God about our sin, talking with Him about that. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for who He is, for what He's done. Supplication is what? That's bringing our needs and our concerns before Him. So we adore Him, we worship Him, we confess our sin, we give thanks, and then we also bring our needs before Him in supplication. So how can we pray with confidence? We can pray with confidence then as we abide, that is, we remain intimately connected. If you have a tree that like say an apple tree out in your yard, anybody have like an apple tree or fruit tree of some kind in your yard? You cut off the branch, what's going to happen? Is that branch still going to produce apples? No, because it's been disconnected from the life, which is in the root, the trunk, right? In the same way, if we're not vitally, intimately connected with God, we're not going to produce fruit for His glory. So we need to abide or remain in Him. And then we're told to ask, but what? To ask in faith, believe, and then we will receive. We can pray in confidence as we abide in Christ, as we ask Him persistently, as we ask in faith, believing, and we will receive then according to His will. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this here today? Well, I'll start where we started here. The power of God is unleashed. The power of God is unleashed in the disciples' life through persistent believing prayer. Persistent believing prayer doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want when you want, but it does mean God's power will be unleashed in your life. Prayer changes. How many of you believe prayer changes things? It may change the circumstances, but I'll tell you what it always changes. Always changes our hearts, doesn't it? God's power is unleashed through that. So do you want to know God better? Pray. persistently in faith? And do you want to see God's power unleashed in your life and in others? Pray. Pray in faith. And entrust that answer to God's hands, knowing that He is a Heavenly Father who will always answer you in love, and that everything He does for you is motivated by love. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that You are a God who hears prayer and who answers in love. God, I pray that You would mold our hearts and minds to desire Your will more than anything else in life, and that we would boldly and persistently pray, that we would ask and keep on asking, they seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, knowing that You have promised that we will receive, we will find, the door will be open, and giving thanks that You are a Heavenly Father who gives good gifts to those who ask. So we entrust ourselves to You now, Lord. Teach us to pray. And may we pray that Your will be done in all things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.